Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, saints of God. Welcome to another Manna from Heaven broadcast. That song, that hymn is entitled, Master, the Tempest is Raging. The Tempest is Raging. We're going to listen to the latter portion of that at the end of the broadcast. So it's a five-minute hymn. We only played 2 minutes of it. So at the end of the broadcast today, we'll conclude with the rest of it. It is one of the most theological hymns. I would encourage you to get your hymnal, find it, Master, the Tempest is Raging. And I would encourage you to read the words. It's all based on the Bible. It's an amazing hymn. So deep, so profound, so cranial. One of the great hymns of the church. Well, we are talking about Christ, our only security and help during our earthly pilgrimage. Our scripture for this week comes by means of Isaiah 32:2, which reads, "And the man shall be as a hiding place from the wind, and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land." Let's pray. Dear God and Heavenly Father, we give you thanks today. We praise your name. We glorify thee, O Lord, because you are our all in all. You are our all-season God. No matter what season we are in, no matter what period we are in our life, you are there in the midst of your people. You are there with each and every one of your children. Father, many of us are going through a storm. Many of us are in the midst of a tempest. Some are in a place where there is no living water. Others are in a place where the sun is just beating them down. They're in a weary land where there is no help, where there is no hope. But our hope is in God and in his Christ. Bless us, O Lord, we pray. In Jesus' wonderful name, Amen and amen. The Bible tells us, cursed is the man, cursed is the individual, cursed is the person who trusteth in the arm of flesh. If you put all your trust, all your hopes, all of your dreams in a man, the same way many people do in a politician, the election time comes around and you have these politicians and they go on the campaign trail and they promise that they're going to do this for you and they're going to do that for you and they're going to do this other thing for you. If only you would elect them, and if only you would put them in high office, they're going to do this and that. And many people go in believing that these individuals will deliver. Some do, some don't. Some are great leaders and some are dismal leaders. But there's a curse. And what's the curse? Well, the curse is that these people will let you down. At some point, at some time, at some juncture, these people will do something that will dash your hopes. There's only one man. There's only one person, one individual that you and I can put our hopes in, and that is the man, Christ Jesus. 100% man, 100% God. This is the man referred to here in Isaiah 32. There shall be a man. God will give us a man greater than Abraham, greater than Moses, greater than David, greater than all the heroes of the faith, greater than all of them combined. God will give us a man, one man, that will be a hiding place for his people when the winds are on them, covert for his people when the tempest is blowing, a fountain of living water when they find themselves parched of thirst, a great shadow for his people in a land that is beating them down. That one person throughout all of history, that one person is Jesus Christ. And this is why the hymn is so profound, the hymn we just played. Master, the tempest is raging. Notice it doesn't say pastor. This hymn, people are not singing this hymn to their pastor. It doesn't say deacons is raging, trustees, the tempest is raging. It doesn't say church leaders, the tempest is raging. It says master. It's referring to Jesus. Jesus, you're our only hope. You're our only hope. You are that man. Behold the man, said Pontius Pilate. Behold the man. Look at him, the Lamb of God, crowned with a crown of thorns, and the people clamoring for his crucifixion in a frenzy state, in a demonic state, clamoring for blood, a bloodthirsty, ungrateful multitude clamoring for blood, for the spilling of blood. Well, today we want to look at that portion of the text that's in black. Jesus shall be a covert. What's a covert? A covert is a hiding place. A hiding place from what? The tempest. The tempest. Here you have a picture. Here's Jesus. There's Jesus. And we are in the ship. We're in that ship, and that ship is surrounded by a tempest. We are in it. We're in the thick of it. We're in trouble. We're about to go down. We're about to go down for the final count. But Jesus shows up, and he calms the storm. Jesus, a covert from the tempest. Master, the tempest is raging. Now, today it may be sunny in your life, and there may not be a drop of rain in your life, and no dark clouds, Everything's just beautiful. It's a beautiful morning today. It's just beautiful. But many others are going through it, and they're going through it bad. I'm here to tell you, Jesus is with you. You're not alone. I want to refer you today to three different Bible passages. The first one is found in Matthew 8, 23. Let's go to Matthew 8, 23. And in Matthew 8, 23, it reads, "And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea." Now, there's a tempest and there's a great tempest. A great tempest is a super-duper tempest. It's the mother of all tempests. That's what it's referring to here. "And behold, Jesus was with his disciples in a ship, and a tempest arose in the sea." And not just a tempest, but a great tempest. A tempest of great intensity. A tempest that afforded them great danger. A tempest of great gravity. "And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but Jesus was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish." Jesus, we're in trouble. It's curtains to go down. We're about to go under. "And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and he rebuked the winds and the sea. And there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man?" Oh, what manner of, that's the question. See, Jesus is the man of Isaiah 32:2. What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the seas obey him? Yes, indeed they do. They obey Jesus. You're in it. You're in trouble. You're taken in water. You don't see a way out. The ship is about to go under, and you with it. You and all your hopes and all your future plans, everything is about to go down into the depths of the sea. You're about to be swallowed by the sea. As the hymn says, the sea is about to be your grave. And here comes a man, the God-man. What manner of man is this, that the winds and the sea obey him? Well, he's God in the flesh. Now, in this particular episode, in this particular case, Jesus was with his disciples in the ship. Jesus was close by. You know, there are times when we're in a storm, and we know Jesus is right there with us. We know it, but again, we use the anthropomorphic language, he's asleep. God, the Bible says, he who keeps Israel, he who keeps the church, never slumbers nor sleeps, but because Jesus is the God-man, God and man infused into one being, Jesus was taking a nap. And it seems as though in your life, you know Jesus is right next to you. You know Jesus is close to you. You this week, this month, this year, you've been the closest to Jesus you've ever been. But here comes the storm, and Jesus is in the other room sleeping, and you're saying, what are you doing sleeping, Lord? Don't you see I'm in trouble? So this is one episode where Jesus is so close to the believers that they know he's right there. He's there. He's there with me. We're in the storm. We're in the tempest together. But I want to refer you to another account, also in the Gospel of Matthew, where Jesus was not in the ship with the disciples. That is Acts, Matthew 14. And we're going to start reading at verse number 22, and we're going to read to verse 33. Matthew 14:22-33. Thus beginneth the reading of God's holy word.
Immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled.
Oh, it is a ghost!
They cried out for fear, but immediately Jesus spoke to them.
Be of good cheer! It is I! Do not be afraid!
And Peter answered,
Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.
Come!
And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out,
Lord, save me!
And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him.
Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?
And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him.
Truly, you are the Son of God.
Who is this man who can walk on water? Who can have you and I walk on water? Who is this man? Who is he? Well, he's the Son of God. He's the man referred to in Isaiah 32:2. The man who is a covert, a hiding place, a shelter, a strong tower from the tempest. The word tempest here in Greek is sea tornado. It's the Greek word used when there's a tornado that rides on the surface of the water. You've seen those. They're called funnels. But when a funnel fully develops and becomes all-powerful, it goes from funnel to sea tornado. You've seen on the news broadcast what tornado does on land. Well, it can do so much more on the sea. Especially if you're on it. Jesus can handle all kinds of tornadoes on land, on sea. We saw yesterday that he is, what is Jesus? When the winds come, what is he? He's a hiding place from the wind or the tornadoes on land. He's also a hiding place when the tornadoes are on the sea. We fare a little better. We can do a little better when we're on land, but it's a different story. We're not adept. We're not good at sea. We're very much vulnerable at sea. And nonetheless, Jesus comes to our aid. He comes to our rescue. And none in that boat, not one, perished. Not one. Not Peter, not the 11. None of them perished. None. And again, what caused them to stumble, what caused them to cry? Little faith. They did not know who that man was, who their master was, who their savior was. Do you know who your savior is? Do you know who Jesus is? He's the Son of God. He's ever vigilant, ever watching, ever praying for you and I. And when we get into trouble, yes, it may be, it may be. Look what the text says. He came at the fourth watch. He came within the period of 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. Oh, Jesus, why did it take so long for you to come? Well, Jesus is developing our faith. He has to let you go through the trial a little bit. He has to allow you to taste seawater. He's got to let you row for a little while and struggle for a little while. Listen, just so that you don't think it was a dream or a vision or a trance, or, you know, maybe I dreamt this thing. No, 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 no. You listen, you're drinking seawater, and there's fish slapping you in the face, and you're rowing, and everybody's in a panic. That wasn't a dream. That was real life. And it went on for hours because Jesus came before daybreak. Oh, let me tell you, at 3 a.m., it's dark. Jesus came at the fourth watch. It's dark at the fourth watch. You can't see very well at the fourth watch. It's panic time at the fourth watch. It's all over. They may not find you when the sun rises. The sea may swallow you. But here comes Jesus doing what no man has done before, walking on water. And then he says to Peter, come, I bid you come. You can do it too. In other words, listen, when you're going through the storm, when you're going through your toughest trial, don't stop working for God. You'll do some amazing things in the Lord when you're in the midst of the storm. Most people, when they're in the storm, they crawl up like a ball. They go into a fetal position. They put a pillow over their face. They put a quilt over their head, and that's it. And they crawl up like little babies. And that's no. It's not time. It's not time to get into a fetal position. It's time to walk on water. It's time to defy the odds. It's time to face the storm. It's time to face the sea tornado. It's time to have faith. Why? Because the Master is with us. He's coming. Jesus is on his way to rescue us. Just look for him. He's not a ghost. He's not a phantasm. He's not some apparition. He's the Lord. Flesh and blood, the God-man, the God-man. Now, let's turn to Acts 27, because I'm running out of time here. Acts chapter 27. Here is the Apostle Paul. Here is the Apostle Paul. And he is going to go through a storm, because all apostles, all church leaders, if you're in the ministry, you know, we read in Matthew 8 where Jesus and the 12 were in the boat. Jesus is the head and the disciples are the leaders. All the leaders of the church were in that one boat in Matthew 8. In Matthew 14, the 12 disciples, the 12 leaders, future leaders of the church, they're all in that boat, and Jesus comes to their rescue walking on water. You see, more than any other group in the church, if you are a church leader, you will go through the storm. And who put you in the boat? Jesus. Jesus put his disciples, he put his future leaders in the boat in Matthew 8. In Matthew 14, you read the account. Who put the disciples in the boat? Jesus put them in the boat. You see, God puts his leaders where they are most vulnerable, allows a sea tornado to rise up to put them to the test to see what they're made of. Do you have faith? Will you make it through the storm? Or will you crawl up into fetus position and cry like a baby? Oh, my brothers and sisters, it's no time to cry. It's time to exercise your faith. Acts 27. Let's go to Acts 27. Starting at verse 1, we'll be reading from the New King James Translation. This is an 8-minute audio, so be patient. We're going to read the whole chapter, Acts chapter 27.
And when it was decided that we should sail to Italy, they delivered Paul and some other prisoners to one named Julius, a centurion of the Augustan regiment. So, entering a ship of Adramidium, we put to sea, meaning to sail along the coasts of Asia. Aristarchus, a Macedonian of Thessalonica, was with us. And the next day we landed at Sidon. And Julius treated Paul kindly and gave him liberty to go to his friends and receive care. When we had put to sea from there, we sailed under the shelter of Cyprus, because the winds were contrary. And when we had sailed over the sea, which is off Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra, a city of Lycia. There the centurion found an Alexandrian ship sailing to Italy, and he put us on board. When we had sailed slowly many days and arrived with difficulty off Nidos, the wind not permitting us to proceed, we sailed under the shelter of Crete off Salmone. Passing it with difficulty, we came to a place called Fair Haven near the city of Lycia. Now, when much time had been spent and sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already over, Paul advised them,
"Men, I perceive that this voyage will end with disaster and much loss, not only of the cargo and ship, but also our lives."
Nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman and the owner of the ship than by the things spoken by Paul. And because the harbor was not suitable to winter in, the majority advised to set sail from there also, if by any means they could reach Phoenix, a harbor of Crete opening toward the southwest and northwest, and winter there. When the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their desire, putting out to sea, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, a tempestuous headwind arose called Euroclydon. So when the ship was caught and could not head into the wind, we let her drive. And running under the...
Now, the text says that the ship was met by a Euroclydon. A Euroclydon. That's a Latinized Greek word. That's where you take a Latin word and a Greek word and you marry them. That's like Spanglish. People take a Spanish word and an English word and they marry them. Like for example, I grew up hearing the word in my household, the word rufo. Rufo. Well, that's Spanglish. That's what was my dad telling me when he said, go up to the rufo. He was telling me, go to the roof. Well, the same thing with this word Euroclydon. It's a Greek word that's been Latinized. And basically what it means is a nor'easter. Now, those of us who live in the northeast know what a nor'easter is. We know what that is. It's a superstorm, especially in the wintertime. In the wintertime, if you get hit by a nor'easter, you can expect many feet of snow. So here is Paul, and he's on a ship, and Paul already knows what's coming down the pike. He advises them not to sail, but he's not in charge. He's a prisoner. He's a passenger. He's in shackles. Who's going to listen to a criminal, to a supposed criminal? So they ignored him. The captain of the ship, listening to the owner and to the people who had cargo on, they said, we want to get paid. Get that ship over where it needs to go so that we can deliver our goods and get paid. Again, greed, money was at the head of the decision. And so they failed to listen to Paul, and here they're met by a nor'easter, a massive two storms. That's what a nor'easter is. You have one storm coming from the north and another storm coming from the east, and they collide and they collide and hit the ship. Two storms at one time. So let's continue reading.
Shelter of an island called Clauda, we secured the skiff with difficulty. When they had taken it on board, they used cables to undergird the ship. And fearing lest they should run aground on the Sirte sands, they struck sail and so were driven. And because we were exceedingly tempest-tossed, the next day they lightened the ship.
And it says, and because we were exceeding tempest-tossed.
Third day we threw the ship's tackle overboard with our own hands. Now when neither sun nor stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we would be saved was finally given up. But after long abstinence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said,
Men, you should have listened to me and not have sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, Do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. And indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. Therefore, take heart, men, for I believe God that it will be just as it was told me. However, we must run aground on a certain island.
So there you have it. They sailed because of financial greed. Paul says, now God, the Savior of all men, which is going to spare every human being on this ship, no one shall lose their life. However, the ship will be lost. The cargo will be lost. The profits will be lost. But God sent an angel who did what? Who becomes the messenger of hope, not only for me, but for you. And thus we shall be saved. One last scripture, and I would encourage you to read all of chapter 27, but one last scripture, 2 Corinthians 11:25. 2 Corinthians 11:25. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times, a night and a day, I have been in the deep. You know what it is to bob in shark-infested waters? Here you are holding on to a log from a busted ship. And you're floating in the sea a whole day and a whole night, bobbing in the water, not knowing if a school of sharks are circling around you, about to take your life. But in the midst of that storm, Jesus becomes a covert. Are you bobbing in the water today? Are you floating on a piece of wood? Do you see the shark fins circling around you? The Lord would say to you and to me, if that was our situation, fear not, for there is a man who is a covert from the tempest, from the Euroclydon, from the massive nor'easter. There is a man, and his name is Jesus. I'll be back tomorrow, dear saints of God, to do our membership class. I'm going to do a membership class tomorrow, and then I'll be back on Thursday to do part 3 in this series. May the Lord bless you, and keep you. And here is my promise to you, the rest of that beautiful hymn, Master, the Tempest is Raging.